Thankful to be here with you this morning, and appreciate the song service and appreciate the prayer that's been offered up. And I hope that you'll continue to pray for us with the time we stand before you this morning, that the Lord will send you a message that will touch your heart and be something you can carry with you and will be food for your soul. The Lord's able to do that, and that's my prayer for you this morning and for me. And I hope that you'll join with me in praying to that end. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. I'd like to read a verse to you here in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, and that's verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. In this verse that we've read to you, we're told that wisdom is the principal. Now, notice the way that word is spelled. It's spelled the same way the principal of a school is spelled. If you see it spelled instead of ending with an A-L or it ends with an L-E, that's a different principal than the principal that it says here. The principal that it says here means the first in rank or order, or it's the first. Just like at a school, the one in charge of the school is the principal, and he's the highest in rank at the school. Well, this verse tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. And for that reason, it says we need to get wisdom. And while we're getting it, we need to get understanding also. Now, understanding deals with the connection between your thoughts and knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge out there in the world, but sometimes we just don't get it. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was working with some very smart people. And they'd sit there and rattle off all this stuff just like it was second nature to them. And I thought, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I have no idea how you even know this, where that even came from. They had understanding that I didn't have. Well, there's an understanding that only the Lord can give. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Apostle Paul tells Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. See, there's some knowledge that's conveyed that we need to consider, but the Lord gives the understanding. I remember sitting in school lots of times when I was growing up, and a teacher teaching a concept, and I'd finally get it. I'd finally have that moment. When I'd get it, that's when the understanding came. And so we need to get that. But wisdom is the principal thing. It's the first thing. In fact, this text tells us something for us to do, something that it is that we are to do. You know, it's very important for us as old Baptists to realize that the Lord has saved us from our sins, and heaven is our home. But that does not mean that there's not something for us to do right now. In fact, the Bible speaks of several things that we are to do. In Psalm 27, verse 4, David was king over all Israel. And, you know, when you're the king, you know, it's kind of like being our president, but not really. President has a lot of help in running our government. He's got Congress and he has Supreme Court. He has a lot of help. But when you were the king, you were all three of those things. You made the laws and you were the judge, and you were the leader of the army. You did all those things. And David says in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord. He funneled all of his desire into one thing. And this is his desire, and I trust that it would be ours as well. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What was he doing? And what do we need to do? We need to seek to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. And not just stop there. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially them who are the household of faith. And so that text tells us we need to do good to everybody, but especially those who are here in the household of faith. James chapter 1, James tells us that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, these things I'm laying out for you that we are supposed to do. How are we doing? If we got a grade this morning, what would our score be? How are we doing in completing these tasks? You know, when I was in school, I liked making 100s. That was a goal I went for every time. But I'm going to tell you, and what I've told you this morning, I hadn't made 100 in that. I have not made a 100 in all the things that I've told you, and I sure haven't done it in what I'm about to tell you. This past Wednesday night, Elder Tom Griffin was here, and he preached from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And one of the verses that he read over there in 2 Corinthians 10 said that we are supposed to bring into captivity all of our thoughts. Those of you that were there Wednesday night will remember this. We're to bring into captivity, imprison all of our thoughts to what? To the obedience of Christ. Now I'll tell you what. I don't know how many thoughts I have during the day or how many you have during the day. But to take every one of those thoughts and put them into prison to the obedience of Christ, I am not getting 100 on that. I am a long way. I may not even be at passing grade on that one. So there are some things for us to do, you understand. But this, if I had one thing, the principal thing that I want to tell you this morning that we need to get, it's wisdom. It's the principal thing. What is wisdom? Well, I have always believed that wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. It's not knowledge. It's the right use or exercise of knowledge. But I recently heard a definition of wisdom that I really liked and I've kind of latched on to. And that is that wisdom is skillful art for the task of life to the glory of God. Now, I'm going to tell you why I like that definition. Because it calls wisdom skillful art. Now, I'm going to tell you, an artist is not a scientist. A scientist deals with things that can be measured, things that can be quantified, but an artist doesn't. And I believe that when it comes to wisdom, wisdom is an art. You can't just say, well, you need to do it this way every time. No, that's not the wise course of action. And we hope to show some examples of that in a moment. In fact, I'll just go ahead and show you one. In Proverbs chapter 26, while we're thinking about wisdom in this way, there's two verses here that if you read them, you're going to think, well, this really seems like a contradiction in the Bible. This really seems like we're given mixed messages here. You know, that the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. The opposite of a wise man is a fool. And now notice here in Proverbs 26, we're going to read these two verses together, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 26, verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now think about those two verses for a moment. First one says, don't do something. And then the second verse says, do that something. Don't do this. And then this next verse says, do this. Now I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be a good parent, very important you be consistent. You consistently say, either do this or don't do this. But notice these two verses tell us to not do something and turns right around and tells us to do something. What does that mean? Well, what it means is it requires wisdom to know which one to do. It requires wisdom to know whether I should answer this fool according to his folly or not. You know, I generally take the approach when I'm just going to volunteer for verse number 4. When I hear a fool speaking his folly, I just don't say anything. I just don't see any point in it. I don't see any point in arguing. I don't see any point in getting involved. But I'm going to tell you, if enough good people just lay down and let the fools walk around and say and do whatever they want to, what we're going to have is fools running our society. And so there's a time and a place when it's time to speak up. It's time to speak up and play their game with them and beat them at their own game. Otherwise, they become wise in their own conceit. But we don't need to do that every time. Because if you do that every time, you're going to be just like the people you're trying to fight against. Very important. It takes wisdom. It takes skillful art to be able to know when to do it. You know, if you notice, Jesus demonstrated this. He had people that would come and tempt him and say some things. And notice his response wasn't the same every time. Sometimes they'd ask him a question and he'd answer them. Sometimes they'd ask him a question and he'd ask them a question. Sometimes they'd ask him a question and he would just sit down and ride on the ground like he didn't even hear him. His response was not the same every time. I'll tell you, there's skillful art in being a wise person. But I'd like for us to consider for a moment, if you'll turn with me to Job chapter 28, that the text told us to get wisdom. And I want to ask you this morning, how do we do that? How do we do that? In Job chapter 28, Job takes this whole chapter and devotes it to the subject of wisdom. And he begins this chapter by saying, you know, there's a place where you can go. There's a vein. There's a place where you can go find silver. You can go dig in the ground, find silver. You can go dig in the ground, find gold. You can go find iron. You know, we dig in the ground, find oil. And so if we're going to go and find wisdom, where do we go to get it? Notice Job, we're going to skip a lot of this, but he goes to verse 12. It says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? That's the question this morning. If we're to get wisdom, where do we go? We could go to this well and find water. We could go here and get this and here and get that. But where do we go to get wisdom? And he goes on to say, in verse 13, man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. that's interesting. He says, a man doesn't know the value of it, and you won't find it here in the land of the living. So where will you find it? Where is it? Verse 14, the depth saith, it's not in me. And the sea saith, it's not with me. Verse 15, it cannot be gotten for gold. You can't just go and buy it. You can't go and dig and find it. Where do you go to get wisdom? And he goes on and on. But I want this morning to point you to three things. Three places where you can find this wisdom. This wisdom that's the principal thing. This wisdom that we need to be teaching our children to go and find. This wisdom that is so valuable, so important. Where do we go to find it? Well, first of all, James chapter 1 tells us something very important. In James chapter 1, this is a verse that I'd like to point you to in James chapter 1 in verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom. You know, it's not knowledge. You can go and study and you can find knowledge. But wisdom is something different. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now notice, the place to go to find wisdom, it's not among the land of the living. It's not in this earth. It's something that God gives. In fact, I believe I had the wrong view of this verse for many years. I used to think that if I prayed the Lord for wisdom, he'd give me a lifetime supply and I was good. I don't find this verse teaching that. I find this is just like your daily bread. You need daily wisdom. You need wisdom for the life circumstances of today. You need to daily ask the Lord for the wisdom that you don't have and that you don't need. I don't know if you remember a couple of Sundays ago, but we remember the prayer of Jehoshaphat, how he prayed to the Lord and says, "We don't know what to do." Oh, it's so good for a leader of a people to acknowledge that he doesn't know what to do and he turns to the Lord for help. I'll tell you, there's so many times where we don't know what to do. If you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to notice with you when it comes to the Lord and wisdom is only found with him, that the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 verse 3 that in Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the one that holds the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if we need it, he's the one that's got it. He's the one that we need to turn to. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this in verse 7. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now notice, Apostle Paul says that when we preach to you, and you go back to the beginning of this chapter, and he tells them, "I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified," he talked about his preaching to them. And when he said he talked about his preaching to them, he says, "We speak the wisdom of God." The wisdom of God. You know, you can find wisdom in fact, this is the second place, but we're going to get into it in more detail in just a moment. The second place you can find wisdom is in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe in verse 15, it says thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wisdom will come to you from God's Holy Scriptures, God's Word. And you can find wisdom in reading God's Word. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 that wisdom can be found in the instruction of God's words. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 1 that you can receive wisdom from the instruction. And in the gospel message, there is wisdom imparted from God himself through the preaching of the gospel. Apostle Paul says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's the hidden wisdom. And he goes on to say that I haven't seen it. Ear hadn't heard it. And it hadn't entered the heart of man. But verse 10 tells us, but God revealed it to us by his Spirit. His Spirit. How do we have this wisdom? Because God's Holy Spirit came down and revealed it. You know, if we're lacking wisdom, we come to the house of God and we need, you know, remember what David said in Psalm 27:4. He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life for two reasons. One, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And two, to inquire in his temple. That word inquire means ask questions. David says, I have questions. I don't have the answer to. I have questions. You know who has the answer to all of our questions? The Lord has the answer. And the Lord can reveal some things. He can reveal the answers to our questions here in the house of God. He goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit here. He says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 15, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice, he says the Holy Ghost is teaching us this wisdom. In John chapter 6, verse 45, he says, and they shall be all taught of God. God's the teacher. God's the only one that can teach this wisdom in this way. If you're lacking in wisdom, in Jesus is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he'll give you that wisdom. You turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 99, I believe. I mentioned the second way to get wisdom is through the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 99, notice what this text says. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God will do for you when it comes to wisdom. It'll make you wise beyond your years. It'll make you to have wisdom that even the ones who are in place to teach you don't have. I remember when I was in high school, we had this chemistry teacher, and he was a little unorthodox in the way he taught us. And his reason for that was he wanted to make us think. He would ask us questions, and he tried to stump us. And he started, you know, rattling off questions that I don't believe he believed that, but he would ask them to get us to think and to try to reason and work our, and it was good. I'm glad he did that. I enjoyed that experience. I had some run-ins with him, but I enjoyed being made to think for myself. And I think when our children are growing up, that's something we need to teach them to do, to stand on their own two feet. To think for themselves and don't just say things because mama and daddy said them, but to say things that are true and that are right and that are sound, and even correct mama and daddy sometimes. This teacher helped us in this way. But I'm going to tell you, his knowledge of the Bible was lacking, and I discovered that in a few places. He started telling me about contradictions in the Bible. He started rattling off things that me as a high schooler, I didn't really know exactly how to respond, but I knew he couldn't be right. But I think he really believed that. He really believed that there were problems in the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you study the Word of God and you meditate on it and you keep God's Word, you will know more than your teachers. You will know more than the old people that don't spend their time in God's Word. Third way that, if you turn me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, third way that wisdom, I believe, is found found here in Ecclesiastes, well, in a roundabout way here in Ecclesiastes 7. I'm going to quote the verse that I really draw this from. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, he that walketh with wise men is wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I'll tell you, the third way that you get wisdom is surrounding yourself with wise people. If you want to be a wise person, not only do you need to study and learn and know and follow God's Word and ask God for wisdom that you don't have, but you also need to spend your time with wise people. Now I want to point out what it says here in Ecclesiastes 7, because and some other places, because I want to show you who are the wise among us. We have some wise among us, and I want to just steer you in that direction. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it says this in verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Mourning, like sorrow, crying. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Now, that word mirth, we would today say party. Now, in us trying to teach, Jenny and I, trying to teach our children to be wise people, we've pointed them to this verse. And we've told them that if you know people that go and spend a lot of time at the funeral home, that's a wise person. I'm going to tell you, when I hear, come here and I hear y'all talking about you went to so-and-so's visitation or so-and-so's funeral, I begin to get happy. Because I know I'm around wise people. People who spend time at funeral homes and with grieving families. I'm going to tell you, every time I go to a funeral home or to a funeral, I begin to think about how I'm not going to be here forever. My days are short and I need to get my priorities in order. And at funeral changes me. It may not last as long as I'd like to, but it changes me. But you get around people that are constantly in that environment. That's a wise person who's constantly in tune with just how short we're here in this life and what we ought to be about doing. I tell our children, in school, you're going to get around these children that all they want to do is go to parties. There's so-and-so's parents are gone. We're going to have a party at their house. So-and-so's parents aren't here. We got their house for this party this weekend. They're going to say this party and that party. I'm going to tell you which one's wise and which one's a fool. You be around the folks who go to the funeral home. And I believe that we'll find that a companion of a wise person draws from that wisdom. You turn me to Proverbs chapter 9. There's more indications of who is a wise person and who is not. And we saw this just last Sunday here. In Proverbs chapter 9, it says this in verse 8. Proverbs 9, verse 8. He says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." You get around someone that when they're corrected, when they do something wrong, and they just embrace that. And they just appreciate that. And they just draw from that. I'll tell you what you found is a wise person. You find someone who is rebuked for doing something wrong, and they say, "That's exactly right. You're exactly right. I need to do it differently. I need to do it the right way. I need to change. And I appreciate you so much for telling me that. You found a wise person." He says, verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." And now, I'd like to change gears for a little bit. We've talked about how to find wisdom. But now, let's start to talk about what wisdom is and what it will do for you in your life. Verse 10, Proverbs 9. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding." You want to say, "Well, I want to be a wise person. Where do I start?" He just told us what the beginning of wisdom is. It's the fear of the Lord. Now, that word fear there, that doesn't mean that we're just terrorized and just shaken and so afraid of God. That comes with a respect for His position, His authority, His ability to tell us what to do, our reverence towards God like we would reverence our natural Father. He's our Heavenly Father. That kind of reverence, that kind of fear is what's under consideration here. This is where you start. You start with this. And if you want to be a wise person, you've got to be around God-fearing people. This is another indication of who are the wise among us. The people who are God-fearing are wise people. I remember when I was a boy growing up in the church, you know, there's something in the Primitive Baptist Church that they call the Primitive Baptist Matchmaking Service. Now, that's not an official title, and that's not That's not an organization that doesn't have employees. We call it that, but it's really not that. What it is you get around people in the Old Baptist Church that see that you're young and you're single, and this person over here is young and they're single, and we're going to find ways to get them together. You know, Brother Jim's dad, I don't know if y'all knew this, he got Brother Luke and Sister Robin together, Addison. He told Brother Luke, you know, she really wants to spend time with you, and she hadn't said anything like that. And he goes to Sister Robin and say, you know, he really wants to spend time with you and get acquainted with you. And next thing you know, he planted that idea in both of them. Next thing you know, they got together. Well, I used to do that with my dad when he was that age over there in Texas. And so he said, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to show them who my girl is and not get involved in all this other stuff. My dad told us, he says, if you're going to marry someone, my requirement is not for them to be Old Baptist. My requirement is that they're God-fearing. If you want to be a wise person, you need to marry someone who is God-fearing, because that's a wise person. And if you're living in the same house with someone who is God-fearing and some that is a wise person, you'll draw from that wisdom and they'll draw from yours. And that's a wonderful way to see that. And you know, when it comes to love, I've heard some describe marriage as like two half hinges. And the half hinges of the door and the frame, they come together. And charity, the love, brings you together. But what keeps you together is that rod in the middle. You know what keeps a true marriage together is Jesus in the middle of it. If you want to have a marriage that lasts and stays together, what you need is Jesus in your marriage. And in Jesus is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And are there treasures to be had in wisdom? Well, back up with me to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to notice with you what he tells us all the treasures are to be found in having wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 13, he starts right out the gate with everything that this world wants to have and what I want to have. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Isn't that what we all want? Happiness. That's what this world is seeking. But they're going to point you in the wrong place for happiness. They're going to say, you need riches. Oh, you need youth. You need power. You need this or that. None of that gets you happiness. None of that will get you true happiness. But the one that finds wisdom, he's a happy person. There's one of the treasures of having wisdom. It's happiness. Verse 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. I'll tell you how valuable wisdom is. There is no amount of wealth that you can have on this earth that would compare to having wisdom. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So, on one side, she's going to give you long life. On the other side, riches and honor. You know, we say, well, how is length of days in her right hand? You know, there was a girl I went to high school with, and I could take you to the very spot on 98 Highway where she was driving her car drunk, 130 miles an hour, and crashed into a tree and died. Now, I'm going to tell you what she did and get behind the wheel in the state that she was in, that was not wise. And she could still be with us here today and have a long, happy life if wisdom had been something she was seeking for. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. You know, God came to King Solomon and said, what will you have that I'll give you? You want riches? Do you want this or that? You know what Solomon said? Notice the humility. The king over all Israel, son of David, said, I'm just but a child. How can I be over these people? I need wisdom and an understanding heart to be able to govern this people. He asked God for wisdom. And God gave him, and God even said, you didn't ask me for riches, you didn't ask me for honor, but I'm going to give you that too. Because that comes with wisdom. And Solomon had that skillful art. He had that ability to discern between right and wrong. They brought to him a child one time. I don't know if y'all remember this story. You can go back and read it in 1 Kings. These two harlots in his kingdom came to him, and there was one child, and the one woman said, this child's mine. And the other woman said, oh no, this child is mine. And she's trying to take it from me. And here Solomon is. Imagine being in his shoes, trying to figure out who this child belongs to. We don't have DNA. We don't have all that stuff we have today to figure that out. But the one said, my child was with me in the bed, and she laid on her child and killed it, and she took her dead child and put it there beside me and took my child from me. And when I woke up, the dead child, that wasn't my child. She stuck it there because she laid on her own child. And the other one said, no, the living child's mine. How's Solomon going to figure that out? How do you get to the bottom of things? It takes wisdom. It takes that skillful art to be able to do that. You know what Solomon said? Bring a sword. Well, what's he going to do with a sword? He says, cut that child in half and give half to one and half to the other. Now, that's crazy. Isn't that crazy? Why would you ever do something like that? Because he had the wisdom to know that would reveal who the true mother was. Because one woman says, that's right, just cut it up. Won't be hers or mine. And the mother said, oh, no. Give it to her. Give it to her. And Solomon said, that's the mother. I'm going to tell you, it takes wisdom to be able to do that. Wisdom to be able to answer these questions in these situations takes wisdom. And wisdom is able to do this for you. Verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You want a pleasant life, peaceful life. It takes wisdom to have that. In fact, if you turn me to James chapter 3, I want you to notice with me, there is a wisdom of this world that is different from the wisdom that comes from God. In James chapter 3, he tells us, here's the way to tell the difference. In James 3, verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. He says, if you've got a wise man, he will show you he's wise and demonstrate that by meekness, humility. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Now notice he says there is a wisdom that's from beneath. And this wisdom is earthly. And true wisdom will never come through in prideful arrogance like the earthly wisdom is, because that leads to verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I'm going to tell you, when you have strife and envying, and I'm going to tell you, this is the part that bothers me the most about looking at this world around us. There's a lot of earthly wisdom, devilish wisdom, that is causing all this wisdom, all this strife, and all these problems. I'm not making this statement as a political statement, but I'm going to quote Ronald Reagan. if this upsets you, I will apologize to you in person after the service. But Ronald Reagan says the problem with liberals is not that they're dumb. It's not that they're not smart. It's that they just know so many things that are not so. And, you know, he was a comedian. He had a way with being able to explain things in a pleasant way. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to earthly wisdom and the strife and the things that are going on, there are people that just believe things that are not true. And if I believe what they believed, I might come to the same conclusions they did. But, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You want to see a wise person. You see a person who is approachable, gentle, peaceable. That is a man who is wise and has found that wisdom that only comes from above. I'd like to go back to Proverbs 3 and just read a couple more of these expressions, because the Bible has a lot to say about this. But I just want you to see the value of finding this wisdom that only the Lord can provide. It says in verse 18. Says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Again, you find happiness in verse 13 in finding wisdom, and there's happiness in keeping wisdom. You know, it's very important for us to realize the Lord might bless us with the wisdom for today, but if we don't hold on to that wisdom and keep it, we can lose the happiness we once had. And the wisdom for today may be this, answer not a fool according to his folly. And the wisdom for tomorrow might be this, something else. You know, one time, and I believe it was in 2 Kings chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 5, David had the Philistines coming and attacking Israel. And, you know, the natural response is, let's go get them. But he asked the Lord, he says, shall I go up? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? The Lord said, go up. I will surely deliver them in your hand. All right. And he did. A little while later, they came back. And I'll tell you, it's very easy for you and I to fall into the trap and say, well, that worked last time, so let's just do that again without asking the Lord. And where that would have been dangerous is he asked the Lord, shall I go up without deliver them into my hand? You know what the Lord said? Go not up. Go not up. Go around. They were ready for him, I guess. That, I don't know. The Lord. See, the Lord knows. The Lord knows what we don't know. The Lord knows situations, and he knows all the behind the scenes information that we don't have. The Lord knows. And so the answer was different for that time. You know, we've got to find wisdom, but we've also got to retain wisdom. We've got to keep wisdom. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Notice, if you have wisdom, you'll understand this created world. You'll understand that God created this world by wisdom. I'm going to tell you, when I ride down the road and I see all those trees out there in the woods, and I think, you know, God made all these big things. But I could get down into the details of that tree, or down into the ground, there'd be earthworms or whatever it is. God, by wisdom, did it all. The big things, the small things, he did it all. There was nothing left out. You know, it takes a special person who's able to corral all the details of any kind of job to make sure nothing gets left out or done wrong. Well, the Lord, by wisdom, he founded the earth. And he says, my son, let not them, verse 21, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You want safety? You need wisdom. You don't want to stumble or anything happen? You need wisdom. Verse 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You want to live without fear? You need wisdom. You want to get sweet sleep at night? You need wisdom. Look at all the valuable benefits in your life of having wisdom. Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. No, you want confidence? Are you not a very confident person? Well, you need wisdom. I remember I was talking to someone a while back, and they were talking about their children taking karate. And I never took that, and kind of wish I did sometimes. Because there's some places you can go to a store or somewhere, and, you know, if someone snuck up behind me or they, you know, jumped at me, I'd want to be able to take them down. I want to be able to defend myself or my family. And sometimes I wish I'd have had some of that training. But this man told me that he really liked his children taking this because he wanted them to have confidence. Confidence. No matter what came their way, they could handle it. And I stopped and thought about that. And I said, yeah, that's good for children to have confidence. But I'm going to tell you, where your confidence needs to be is not in your ability to be able to respond or to defend or to do something like that. Where your confidence needs to be is in the Lord, who can protect you from all dangers. Because I'm going to tell you, you cannot, are not able to protect yourself from every single possible catastrophe that might come your way. But He is. Notice this text, verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. A wise person understands that, embraces that, and follows that. Now, for time's sake, we just want to skip on down to verse 31. Very quickly mention these thoughts and close. He says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. You'll know the Lord's secrets if you have wisdom. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Don't we want to be blessed of God? Well, you find that in wisdom. Verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but giveth grace unto the lowly, the humble. You know, a humble person is a wise person. An humble person is one who, if you rebuke them, they'll love you. An humble person views everyone else as better than themselves. You know, a prideful person views their opinions and their thoughts above everybody else's. And they see themselves as higher and better than everybody else, but not a lowly person. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want that grace that comes only from God. It takes the wisdom to know to be humble, as Jesus also was meek and lowly in heart. Verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You know, glory means that which is worthy of praise. And I'll tell you, when we've had wise folks among us, aren't those the ones we think back and think how fortunate we were, how blessed we were to have known them and to have heard them and to be around them. And what a blessing it is to be around the wise folks around us. And what a blessing to have that glory that only comes from God. You know, the Pharisees were rebuked by Jesus one time because he said, you seek the honor and glory that comes from men. He says, but you should rather be seeking the honor and glory and praise that comes from God. And I'll tell you, the wise person receives that glory and praise. And what a blessing it is to be around wise people and to have that wisdom that comes from God. And what a blessing it is to our life. And I trust you see that this morning. May the Lord help us to daily strive for this wisdom. I thank you for your good attention this morning.